Okay, we're recording now, so hold on.
Okay.
Here we go.
Radio Free Weir with Ron Babcock.
And sometimes James, but I haven't recorded this yet. I said I would, but I haven't yet.
That's right, it is what that is. And we're going to do a list of the best non-SNL sketches. I think this time more than any, people need laughter because today is the day before March 15th, which, as we all know, is the Ides of March, the day that Julius Caesar was assassinated, and it's a dark day for humanity.
It's a tough day for me
every
year.
It's a tough day for all.
Every year.
Yeah, every year. Rod,
that and December 8th. Those are the two worst for me.
December 8th? Because of John Lennon?
John Lennon, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was because it was the day after Pearl Harbor, and you're still recovering from... Well, let's be honest, Rod, you were on the Japanese side in that. So you're...
I don't want to talk about it right now.
Yeah, I know. We should.
There was an embargo that they don't talk about that, you know.
Yeah, I know. I know. They don't talk about how we took their oil. I know. Just another war over oil. That's all World War II was.
Anyways.
Hey, James.
Hi.
Please help us.
So I just want to, at the beginning of the show, I want to give some shout outs to some people that deserve them. For instance, my mom, Camille McGinnis, and Webb Bixby, all of which have paid good money for this show to continue. So thank you guys for that. I also want to give a shout out to a woman named Sharon, who yesterday contacted me and said, I don't like listening to the podcast anymore because it's just lists. And I just want to hear you and Rod BSing. And I said, well, that's what the Patreon is. And she went, well, then I better get my happy ass over to the Patreon and sign up. And then she did. And then
Holy crap. To
the show. And
what an awesome person. I love you now.
So
and,
if you,
and she hates me. That's
cool. I was fond of her
maybe.
Before.
Yeah. That could be honestly what it is.
Didn't just hear the list.
Yeah, and I get that. I mean, honestly, our numbers are better on list shows than they are on non-list shows. But the point is that I need to make right now, before we get to James and how he's ruining the show. Right. The point is,
I ruin a lot of things, guys. Don't pigeonhole me to just the show.
If you're somebody who likes the list, but also would just like to hear Rod and I bullshitting,
as we used to,
that is what the Patreon show is. It's not much more than that. It's basically like me calling Rod and us having a conversation for 40 minutes that you can listen to.
Pretty
God
much.
Knows why, but people seem to like it. So the regular podcast show, the freebie show, is pretty much always going to just be lists. And the numbers for the list have actually gone up since James joined. So while James might feel like it's his fault, it's not.
I think we do a fair amount of BSing on the list too, though.
We'll talk.
Yeah,
about
but it's focused. It's focused, and people like hearing us talk about the news. I don't know why, because it's not like...
The newts?
I was ever... Yeah, the newts.
Okay.
Yeah. Their tails are longer this year. It's true.
You heard newts. I said nudes.
Yeah.
Like naked pictures.
Send them.
Before we get to the list, I need to ask you guys this. Did you ever just find pornography in the woods?
Yeah, didn't everybody?
That was just a thing, right?
Yeah.
James?
Wild growing pornography?
Yeah,
I don't believe I ever found wild
discarded pornography. It was in the woods. No, you never found it.
Like we lived, I always lived in apartments. A lot of times when you live in apartments, either right behind or right near the apartments, there's a field for some reason, like a vacant lot that the apartments didn't take up or something. Anyways, in that would always be crap that people tossed out of their apartment or like were trying to hide or something. And sure enough, usually you find a box of porn.
I brought this up
Dirty Magazines
on the air the other day, and they both my co-hosts acted like I was out of my freaking mind. I was like, no, that's what I thought. Like, well,
wild growing porn doesn't grow on the East Coast.
Texas. Yeah, we you know what? We recycle our porn here. Okay, pal. We don't just discard it.
Yeah. I like to think that it just grows in the wild in the
Keep
Midwest.
That shit in plastic wrap. We pass it down through the generations. Everyone in my family started out on the same black and white photos, okay? That's how you build character.
So anyway.
We got my grandpa's old stag films transferred to digital.
But I brought that up. I know we've talked about that before, and people have said that, yeah, they found I don't know what it is, though, Rod. Do you understand? Like,
No, I think it's literally in the case of, like I said, growing up in the suburbs of Dallas, Fort Worth, and apartments, Like somebody, either a teenager or a husband, and you know, she found my porn, or she's gonna find it, or whatever.
Oh, so they just throw it out.
It was time to move.
Toss it out. Yeah,
they didn't want to get.
Or yeah, they were moving, and didn't want someone to pick that box up.
Ah, I feel like in my case it was just voyeuristic masturbators. So they just like to go just out
passing and, it on. Or something.
Yeah, right.
This or is maybe, a good log to maybe, jerk it. Let me just maybe, leave this.
Maybe it was just a creepy old literature. Dude who was luring 12-year-old boys to their doom, and for some reason he looked at me and he was like, "No, not that one."
The cool thing for me.
Nah, I'm going to leave that one alone.
When I, later, when I was like 16, 17, my mother here again, apartment manager, my Justice and I would get paid to trash, like somebody would move out of their apartment and leave the place a wreck, and it was our job to go trash it out and like do the basic first, you know, cleaning, which was often horrible but sometimes fun and like a treasure hunt. Found a lot of porn that way.
Really?
Yeah, found a lot of things nobody ever wanted to touch.
There's something about finding other people's porn that is all the more exhilarating.
Sometimes you have a friend with a bag of porn that won't let you see it.
Wait, hold on, James. I don't know what that's a reference to.
You don't remember that?
Who had a bag of porn that they wouldn't let us see?
Chris.
Chris had a bag of porn?
Yeah.
Our friend Chris had a bag of porn that was obviously gay porn. Is that what you're trying to say? That was obviously gay
All
porn.
I know is like, oh, yeah. He's like, oh, that's my porn bag. I was like, okay, cool. What kind of stuff you got? Oh, no, don't look in there.
No, not your business, sir.
Just want to see what you got, man. That's, you know, it's not. No.
No.
Don't do that.
Now, was this before the internet let us all know that we're not that weird?
It was before
broadband. It was around the broadband. Time. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It was getting there. It was getting there.
Like, he might have had a landline at college, but.
Well, because, you know, there's a lot of things that we used to think that's weird, and then we get online and go, nope, it's not weird at all.
No, it's
First
fine.
Of all, it's the second thing on the auto search. And third, I'm not into peeing on people's feet and, you know, like tying people up in the basement.
Well, I wasn't, and then I saw that video that let me know that it's okay.
Wow, turns out I do have a fetish.
It's weird that there was a pre-roll ad on that for Jell-O. Okay, so it's time to do our list. The list this week is best non-SNL sketches, meaning sketches that came from any show besides SNL. If you get upset because we're going to nominate maybe one or two sketches or three or four sketches from the same show, that's not what the point of the list is. The list isn't best non-SNL sketch comedy show. It's best non-SNL sketch. So that's what it is. I am going to get us started right now with this one right here. It is my son Henry's favorite sketch of all time, and he and I will literally just sit there and actually do this. Not exactly what they say in the sketch, but we'll just make up our own names and just go for hours.
Is that when you play Madden?
It's around that. Yes, yeah. It helps.
Some of them aren't that far off.
And there really are some characters on this year's squads, aren't there, Jeff?
That's right, Dave. It does seem like the most flamboyant personalities came to the forefront, and they are here. Let's meet the players from the East.
DeMarcus Williams, University of Georgia.
T.J. Jackson, Wayne State University.
Tavarius Smith King, Merrimack College.
Todd Royal, Smoochie Wallace. University of Miami.
Smoochie.
Desquarius Green Jr., University of Notre Dame.
Ibrahim Moizus, University of Tennessee at Chattanooga.
Jack Marius Tack Theratrix, Michigan State University.
The Isaiah T. Billings Clive.
The Voyne Showerhead. University of Southern Mississippi.
Hingle McCringleberry, Penn State University.
Le Carpetron Duke Marion. Florida Atlantic University.
The Dinklage Morgan, University of South Florida.
Xmas Jackson Flaxen Waxen, California University of Pennsylvania.
My favorite one is Pringle McPringleberry.
I like
just because of the authority with which he says his own name. Yeah.
Murgatroyd Skittle.
Yeah. Henry came up one time with spiky diarrhea hands.
I don't know what that is.
But it sounds terrifying.
And then like one
like
of them,
diarrhea is like, smooth. It's not spiky. If it's spiky, good God.
Isn't one of them just straight donkey teeth?
Yeah, donkey teeth. And then, of course, at the end, they have Aaron Rodgers in it.
Yeah,
and
who's the quarterback? Dan Smith,
yeah.
From Brigham Young.
Yeah. Brigham Young, that's what it always is, yeah. All right, so that's number one. That's from Key & Peele. It's just called Football Names. And it starts out right there. Boom.
That's a good
Key & Peele was such a great show that I totally slept on while it was on. Well, no. I guess the last season of it I watched. But Katie was like, did a binge watch of it. And I was like, why are you laughing constantly?
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, I watched it.
Is it me? Did I do something?
I watched it on and off, on Comedy Central. And then when we first got on, it was Hulu had it at the time. Was it, or one on Netflix or Hulu one? Anyways, and yeah, I binge watched it like three times. I loved it. It was so funny. And then for them to be the biggest show, like even, you know, like all these famous comedians are like, oh my God, it's like the best sketch comedy show ever. And then go, yeah, we're not going to sign it again. We're just going to do something different now.
Yeah. What pissed me off is, and I like him a lot, but Dave Chappelle was like, they just ripped me off.
Like, fuck you.
Like, you invented that?
I love Dave Chappelle, but come on.
Yeah, but well, he was like, they're just doing, you know, sketch comedy and, like, making fun of, like, black stuff, which, first of all, Key & Peele's a lot deeper than that. And, but second of all, yeah, in living color. Are you kidding? Richard Pryor. You invented that?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Dave Chappelle is the first black guy that ever noticed that white people are kind of lame and that black people are just a little bit different. Anyway,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Who goes next? Rod.
Okay.
Okay. And,
oh, shit. I pushed the wrong button. Look at that. I broke it already. I broke the system already.
You don't know what you're doing.
Let's might as well just be a dick and get this out of the way then.
All right, oh, we just did this.
I'm y'all substitute teacher, Mr. Garvey. I taught school for 20 years in the inner city. So don't even think about messing with me.
Mr.
Y'all feel me? Okay, let's take a roll here. Jay Quellen. Where's Jay Quellen at? No Jay Quellen here? Yeah.
Do you mean Jacqueline?
Okay, so that's how it's gonna be. Y'all wanna play? Okay, then. I've got my eye on you, Jay Quellen. Balake. Where is Balake at? No Balake here today. Yes, sir.
My name is Blake.
Are you out of your goddamn mind?
Blake.
Do you want to go to war, Balake? No. Because we could go to war.
No.
I'm for real. So you better check yourself.
I'm for real.
D Nice. Is there a D Nice? If one of y'all says some silly ass name, this whole class is gonna feel my wrath. Now, D Nice.
Do you mean Denise?
Son of a bitch! You say your name right now.
Denise?
Say it right.
Denise.
Correctly.
Denise.
Right.
Denise.
Right.
D Nice.
That's better. Thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry. I love that.
Yeah.
I am. So yeah,
oh, you didn't play the whole thing.
Oh, do you want me to keep going?
Yeah, I got like blue balls for it. You got to let the whole thing go.
Aaron.
At least Aaron.
Where is Aaron right now? No Aaron, huh? Well, you better be sick, dead, or mute. Aaron.
Here.
Oh, man.
Why didn't you answer me the first time I said it, huh? I'm just asking you. I said it like four times. So why didn't you say it the first time I said Aaron?
Because it's pronounced Aaron.
Son of a bitch! You done messed up, Aaron. Go to OSAG Hennessy's office right now and tell him exactly what you did.
Who? OSAG Hennessy. Do you mean Principal O'Shaughnessy?
Get out of my goddamn classroom!
Insubordinate and churlish. That is a great sketch that was run into the ground by a show that Rod used to work on.
Unfortunately, yeah, but yeah. God, it is funny. And it was really good.
Yeah, it is a great, great
that, and like you said, the show was great. I mean,
yeah,
it really was.
Yep. So, Mr. Garvey, which they were going to make a movie out of, and I'm glad they didn't, because I feel like that would have.
I
think you could say the same thing about every SNL sketch that was made into a movie, because like every SNL sketch, when you heard you were like, they're going to make a Wayne's World movie? Seriously?
Oh, yeah, okay. And I enjoyed Wayne's
They're going to make a Conan. Well, they were right about the Conan's movie, but they're going to make. I like the MacGruber movie, and I didn't really like the MacGruber sketches.
Still never watched the MacGruber really good. Movie.
It was entertaining. I watched it after.
I don't
after
care what anybody was. Says. Ladies Man is a badass movie.
Ladies Man is a very funny movie. Yeah, very.
I was skeptical. I worked with a guy when I worked at Subway for a while. He's like, no, you should check that out. I was like, nah. And then I watched it. I was like, nope, you were right.
Yeah. No.
You have Kevin from Kids in the Hall as the mailman.
That's right.
Look, Leon. Great
integration.
Here's a telegram from Jimmy J.J. Walker. Dear Leon, stop. The 70s are over. Stop. And he throws the mail down, and Leon goes, this isn't a telegram from Jimmy J.J. Walker at all. You a bad mailman. And there's something so inherently funny about him just going, you a bad mailman.
Bad mailman.
Oh, I just love stop. Stop. Oh, God, that's funny.
All right, James, pick number three.
I'm going to go with one that occurred to me late last night before I went to bed. Oh. And it's from Mr. Show with Bob and David. Mm-hmm, and it's about a gentleman named Don Pratt.
Hi, I'm Don Pratt, and I want to help you with anything. I can do chores, listen to your stories, or just mess around with you. We can rent a video, clean out a back room, or act out the lyrics to popular songs on the radio. I'll do anything with you that you want that is legally allowed. Listen to what this guy has to say.
I'd been in an auto accident, and I saw Don Pratt's ad on TV. I called him up, and he came over, and we watched TV together. And then he went out and bought us some sandwiches. I thought he was a lawyer.
Premise number one, I am not a lawyer. So you don't have to worry about me hanging out at an office or boring you with stories from work. I live with my mother, and I can get anywhere within a 30-mile radius anytime she doesn't need the car.
I got fired from my job and called Don Pratt at 11 in the morning. By 11:30, he was at my house. We went to lunch, and he told me the plot to Star Trek VI. He didn't hit on me, but I was afraid he was going to.
I am not interested in a sexual relationship, nor a long-term one. That's Pratt promise number two. Positively no sex. I am just there to hang out with you for as long as you want.
I called Doug Pratt, and he came over and stayed around for the whole weekend.
He helped me weed my garden.
He read magazines one afternoon. I thought he'd gone home.
One night at dinner, he started acting out song lyrics from the radio, and that was funny.
He's funny looking.
We were just about to ask him to leave, but he had already gone.
Pratt promised number three, you don't have to ask me to leave. I get the message. Remember the three promises. I am not a lawyer, I won't try to have sex with you, and I will leave when things get uncomfortable. Beware of other people who make these promises. They either want to have sex with you or they're a lawyer.
Mr. Show, that was the show that it was from, is... I think, I don't know, the three of us all feel this way, but I know that James and I probably do. The best sketch comedy show of all time. I'm sorry. That is my favorite sketch show of all time.
It was
hands
pretty
down.
It was pretty damn good.
To me, it's like what alternative music was the early 90s, Mr. Show was to me as far as sketch comedy was in the late 90s. And it was just brilliant. Like every single episode had like this weird kind of Monty Python feel to it where the sketches flowed into each other.
Yeah, that was very cool. And I loved that they didn't care if you saw the lights or the,
yes,
you know what I mean?
I love that.
I think Bob Odenkirk talked about that because he wrote for SNL for a while, and he's like, the budget they had was ridiculous. He's like, it didn't make it any funnier.
Yeah.
He's like, you watch the old Python stuff, and it's very obviously men in dresses. He's like, and that's even funnier. He's like, if you put makeup on the guy and make him look more like a girl, it's like, that doesn't make it any funnier. Not really.
Right. If you make him look like a really hot girl, like that's just, well, now it's just off-putting. All right. Next one is my pick, and it's also from Mr. Show. It is actually my favorite sketch from the show, and also Conan O'Brien on his podcast, according to my wife, who listens to it religiously and takes notes for me to.
It's a really good podcast.
Apparently. said that this is the best written sketch of all time.
Really?
He had Bob Odenkirk on, and he told him that. And Bob Odenkirk was really? I also wrote the Matt Foley sketch, and he was like, nope. The lie detector for Chris Mr. Farley. Show is a better sketch. I don't know if I need to set this up, so hold on.
Have you ever drank alcohol?
Okay, so what this is the guy going in for a job interview, and they just sit him down to take a lie detector test.
Have you ever drank alcohol to excess?
Yes.
Have you ever taken an illegal drug? It's okay, just tell the truth. That's the important thing.
Yes.
Okay. Marijuana?
Yes.
Cocaine?
Yes.
Heroin?
Yes.
You did heroin?
Yes.
Well, what about angel dust?
Yes.
What about crack? Do you ever... Smoke some crack? Dude, you're out there.
Hey, what was it like?
Great. It's crack.
It gets you really high.
Have you ever killed a man?
Boring.
You want to let me finish?
With your mind?
Yes.
Oh, is this thing even on? Come on.
Have you ever... skinny dipped with Michelle Goodwin?
Yes.
Oh.
Wait, who's Michelle Goodwin?
She's this girl I had a crush on in the seventh grade.
Okay. Have you ever dressed up like a lady of affluence, gone to a fancy downtown eatery, picked up a rich guy, seduced him, and made him want to marry you?
Yes, our story was made into a hit Broadway musical.
All right. Have you ever taken a train and eaten it piece by piece after you just derailed it with your penis?
Yes.
It was for charity.
It was for charity.
That's the best part.
All right, enough.
It was for charity.
Congratulations, you got it. You got the job.
Oh, great.
Welcome to Shoe Court Shoe Store. You'll be working in the women's athletic department.
Well, I love shoes.
Have you ever stolen from an employer? Yes.
Yes.
Where were you employed? NASA. And what did you steal? Just some pens.
Some pens and some plans.
Plans? Space plans.
God. I had to cut some of that out because it's like a 5-minute sketch. But all of it's really good, especially the part where I think it's Paul F. Tompkins finds out that he was molested by his parents.
I'm a control freak because I was molested by my
parents. It's not doing anything.
Oh my God, what a breakthrough.
Oh my God, what a breakthrough. Sorry. I hope that this show doesn't just devolve into us yelling quotes at each other, but it very well may. All right. Number four was Lie Detector from Mr. Show. Number five is Rods, and I believe... is this the one?
Hold on a second. I got to get this...
Oh, you're going to play it? Okay.
Yeah, here's the thing. A lot of people gave Mad TV shit, but it was pretty funny. And Kenny Rogers' Jackass...
Brutality trick. There he is. Move the camera. Hide the camera.
Hey, guys. Excuse me, officer. I lost my doggy up in the park.
Okay, unfortunately, it's very...
This isn't going to work. I mean, I know the sketch, and it's really funny, but...
It's so funny. Like, he just ran up and grabbed the cop's gun.
It's all visual bits.
Shot himself in the foot. Yeah, it's ridiculous. You're right. Okay. It's a very funny sketch, and it's my next pick. And, it's just going to be people laughing and going, ow! Because, they're like, we're going to try to walk on stilts. And instead, they're just beating the crap out of each other with bats. And it's hilarious.
I feel like there are certain people that I've met in my life that have surprised me that they liked professional wrestling. And I'm not saying, like, like they didn't surprise me because they were morons and they like professional. Right. They were like smart people who really get sucked, and they know it's it's all fake, but they just get sucked into the storyline of it, and they genuinely like it. And I've always been kind of like, that's weird that you would like that because it's not like for you, but you appreciate it anyway. I feel like that with Jackass too, because I really like Jackass, and it doesn't check any of the boxes.
I was going to say that does surprise me because I'm like a fan of Jackass.
I love Jackass.
But Kenny Rogers Jackass on Mad TV.
Yeah, Kenny Rogers Jackass on Mad TV is also great, though. Yeah,
it's hilarious. But I did like a lot of the just when they got to like pooping in the store and stuff. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm out.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, some of their best bits, though. What I liked about Jackass is they didn't like play a lot of pranks on people. They were usually the butt of the joke. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I did like
they
that.
They did pranks, but they were always
with the person
getting hurt or
with each
whatever,
other. Right.
I appreciate
and then
it.
I think the second two Jackass movies I went and saw in theaters with a pint of bourbon.
Yeah.
Awesome. I actually respect you now.
Which now, made the experience a little bit better.
I will say this, that I had an argument one time with a movie critic guy, and I kept telling him, I'm telling you, if you box office success, if you want to actually look at what it cost to make a film and what a film made, the two most successful films ever were Jackass and The Blair Witch Project.
Yeah, cost no money whatsoever.
Either one, and they both did quite well.
There was a Jackass movie bit they did where they had a jet engine going, and they were just like throwing stuff through the backdraft of the jet engine.
That is pretty funny.
And they were like throwing footballs at each other.
Yeah.
And like one guy like literally broke a rib because the football hit him in the rib so hard. And then another one, like they just had, he was sitting at a table and the table blew away. And another one, he had an umbrella and he runs into the backdraft of the thing and it just shoots him like 20 feet.
I'm sitting here, as you're telling me this, I'm watching Kenny Rogers and the Jackass guys try to drink a gallon of eggnog. And it is quite disgusting.
It's a really funny bit because it makes no sense. Funny. Like, why Kenny Rogers? Other than
no,
I honestly think that it's like they spun a wheel of impressions that the fat guy in Matt
Sasso, who was actually pretty damn funny,
very funny, that Sasso could do, and they landed on Kenny Rogers, and then they decided it could have been anything though. It could have been like Kevin James's check, because I'm trying to think of things that Ben Sasso looks like.
But did he
do a Steven Seagal one?
Yeah, yes. That's right. He was Seagal. Yeah, Steven Seagal's really Jackass. That wouldn't be that funny, though, because it'd just be Seagal being a dick to people. But yeah. No, Kenny Rogers' Jackass is perfect.
At the time, I remember thinking, why Kenny Rogers? And then it was shortly after that I saw how Kenny Rogers' face had gotten weird and stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, now I understand why we're making fun of Kenny Rogers.
It was a sad day for all of us when we saw it. All right, James, you have pick number six.
Okay, this is one that occurred to me, and I couldn't remember if it was Vacant Lot or Exit 57. That's going to be number 21 there, John.
All right.
I did not realize all the people that were on Exit 57 until I looked this sketch up last night.
Oh, my God.
Stephen Colbert was on it, Amy Sedaris, and the guy singing this song, who was Joffrey Jelinek.
Hail Mary, full of grace, your boy kicked me in the face. He made my wife run away for a big promise on Judgment Day. My wife called me a sinner. I guess I'll be fixing my own dinner. Wolf in Messiah's clothing. My wife dumped me for a guy named Jesus. Now I see a cross and I fall to pieces. It hurts to say his dad's name when someone sneezes.
My
wife dumped me for a guy named Jesus.
Oh. That was the midnight, because it was like 95 to 96. That was when, for me, Comedy Central was at its best, because it was still, experimenting and I'm still trying to find like what would work. And what worked was, hey, let's take some of the people that were on that Dana Carvey show that failed miserably and give them a show. And then that show failed miserably, but it was a good show. It was Exit 57. The Stephen Colbert, who every once in a while will reference Exit 57 on his show.
Really?
Like, yeah, he was the other. It was really painful to watch it, but he was his show Thursday night. He didn't have an audience there because they can't have audiences because of the stupid thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he like had his writers and staff out in the audience, and like one guy laughed at a joke like really hard, and he was like, "Oh, that's good, Gary laughed at that one. Gary's been with me since Exit 57, by the way. He's a great writer," something like that. And I was like, "That's yeah." And he does that every once in a while too. He will like, I can't remember what it's called, but he'll have like people on to recreate sketches from before.
I saw some of those.
Yeah, that like didn't do as well as they should have. Or Seth Meyers does some of that too from SNL. But yeah, it's really good. Anyway, Stephen Colbert, Exit 57.
Because of the cooties outbreak that's going on right now.
Yeah, the cooties outbreak. Yeah, that's why it's all so popular in Italy. Actually, I want to say that probably does explain why it is so popular in Italy. Those people do like to, you know, hug and kiss quite a bit.
There's a bit of cuddling.
I'm not saying it's justified. I'm not
Grade
saying
Grade school
that.
Taught me about the dangers of cooties.
I'm just saying they need to double, circle, circle, dot, dot that shit.
Circle. Then you have your cootie shot. I mean, you're covered.
You got your cootie shot. You got it.
There's a vaccine for it. All the anti-vaxxers will tell you that the cooties vaccine doesn't work, but it does. It does.
That's the one thing they might be right about, actually. all right. So my guy.
Oh, I mean, it doesn't work for cooties simplex B, but
right. No. I mean, the strain evolves. Exit 57. There we go. And so the next one is mine, and I'm gonna go.
What was the name of that song? Oh, guy left Jesus. Jesus.
Yeah, a guy named Jesus. I'm gonna go with this one, and this is pretty classic. We've already referenced this guy once today, not in the most positive light, but he deserves some positivity for this sketch alone, which dominated our lives in the early 2000s.
My brother had these brand new couches. They were suede, right? He gets on the couch and says, "Why don't I stretch out?" And just started grinding mud on the couch, man.
Yeah, I remember grinding my feet on this couch.
Your couch. Buy another one, you rich motherfucker.
See, I never just did things just to do them. Come on, I mean, what am I gonna do? Just all of a sudden just jump up and grind my feet on somebody's couch like it's you know, something to do. Come on, I got a little more sense than that.
10 seconds before.
Yeah, I remember grinding my feet on Eddie's couch.
Then it was like, you know what? Let's handle this. You went over there. Like, hey, Charlie, baby! Oh. And we held him down. And we just wailed on his legs.
Ah! Ah, you darkness, you black, midnight, evil mother.
Even after taking a beating like that, his legs is like linguine.
I've been kicked out of better homes than this. I'll be back. They said he never gave you money. You don't know how to appreciate shit. You know he get another couch. What am I gonna do about my legs?
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Of course, it was the Rick James sketch from Chappelle's Show.
Rick James, bitch.
More than South Park, I think, put Comedy Central on the map. Like, I knew people who I never would have thought even had cable or would ever watch a sketch comedy show coming up and saying, "Rick James, bitch!" I was like, oh, okay, all right. We all downloaded it from LimeWire back in 2004 and watched it because that was pre-YouTube, kids. Rick James and Charlie Murphy, by the way, both dead.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Damn shame.
What?
Yeah, both of them dead.
Hmm.
Yep.
Rick James, right, due to complications of decades of drug abuse, and I think Charlie Murphy had cancer.
Yeah. Actually, what it was that slap that Rick James gave Charlie Murphy at the bar.
What did the four fingers say to the face? Slap!
It sure is. You got cancer now, bitch. That's right. That's how it happens. That's how you get slapped by Rick James and you get cancer decades later.
Maybe
so. Like a lot. I don't know if you'd notice a lot of people from the 80s dying of cancer lately.
Yeah.
All right, Rod.
I wish to complain about this parrot that I purchased not half an hour ago from this very boutique.
Oh, yes, the Norwegian Blue. What's wrong with it?
I'll tell you what's wrong with it. It's dead. That's what I call a dead parrot.
No, it's stunned.
Look, my lad, I've had just about enough of this. That parrot is definitely deceased. And when I bought it not half an hour ago, you assured me that its lack of movement was due to it being tired and shagged out after a long squat.
It's got to be pining for the fields.
Pining for the fields? What kind of talk is that? Look, where did it fall flat on its back the moment I got it home?
The Norwegian Blue prefers kicking on its back. It's a beautiful bird, lovely plumage.
Look, I took the liberty of examining that parrot. And I discovered that the only reason that it had been sitting on its perch in the first place was that it had been nailed there.
Well, of course I nailed it there. Otherwise, it would have nuzzled up to those bars and whoosh.
The Dead Parrot sketch from Monty Python, which if you've never seen it before, is a British TV show from the 90s. All right, Rod. No, James.
James.
James. James Rod.
Yeah, yeah.
You have the next pick, James.
Oh,
number nine.
Okay.
Number nine.
This is one we probably can't play the whole thing, but if anyone's ever walked away with your pen before, you may sympathize with number 26.
Oh, God,
here.
Yes. My pen! Here we go. It's coming. I swear to God. Here we go.
My pen! My pen! My pen! What, Barton? What's all the ruckus? My pen! My pen! My pen is missing!
Yes, and?
I've lost my pen, the one I do all my work with.
Here, use mine.
No! Has anybody here seen my pen? It was in my pocket before. No? Okay. Everything's fine. I'm all right.
It's Barton. Listen, did I leave my pen there last night? Come on, Dale, check. Just look.
I heard you lost your pen.
Maybe you lent it to someone.
Can I borrow your pen for a sec?
Just don't run off.
That's probably sufficient.
Gave it to him, and he imagines him shoving it into his ear and bleeding all over it. And it's Mr. or not Mr. Show. Kids in the Hall was a very strange show because they would just do these like mini movies in the middle of the show, and sometimes like very like the. I don't know how to put it. The Werner Herzog type of stuff, like very like gritty,
just odd and dark,
almost German.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. All right, my pen from
they,
Mr. Show.
The kids in the hall proved to me that Canadians are strange people.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
so Kids in the Hall. There was quite a few things that came up from Kids in the Hall last
I love
night.
That show.
Man, like when they hit hard, but when they missed, they whiffed, man.
Yeah,
some of that, that, stuff that is true. That's like early SNL.
Yeah, yeah, because everybody idealizes the early SNL, and I've watched it. No. SNL has always been hit and miss. Like that's I try to explain that to people. It's not like The Simpsons where there was obviously a drop-off in quality, and I know you both are going to defend The Simpsons right now, and I don't want to hear it. There's an obvious drop-off in quality, though. You'd have to even admit that.
Simpsons is still a good show.
I'm not saying it's not a good show. I'm saying there's a drop-off in quality.
Okay.
But SNL has always been kind of like, eh. I mean, don't get me wrong. There were some seasons that were worse than others, and Pete Davidson should never be allowed on any show, but that's neither here nor there. I mean, it's just it's always been, there's funny stuff on the show and there's some terrible stuff on the show. There have been, always been casts with, you get a Kate McKinnon and casts where you get a Pete Davidson who should be shot into a building. All right. So that's number 9, Kids in the Hall. My pen. I'm also going to do a Kids in the Hall sketch for my next pick for number 10. Ooh. And it's also Bruce McCullough one. It's Gavin, the little annoying kid who asks little annoying kid questions of everybody. And we've all known a kid like this, by the way.
How much do you think my head weighs? How much do you think my head weighs, like if I weighed it on that scale? You know if the angle was right?
With or without hair?
With.
12 pounds.
Now, if my head were veal, which I know it is not, if my head were veal, how much would it be worth?
$54.
No, I don't think I'll sell.
In England, everybody only gets one spoon when they're born, and that's the spoon for the rest of their life. And if you lose your spoon, then you can't have another one.
Oh, I told that to my son when he was like 4, and he just kept staring at me. And I couldn't figure out if he's like, are you really that stupid, father? Or if he was trying, like if he was amazed by it or what? He just stared at me.
Might have been both. He might have been stupefied by your stupidity. Boom.
Stupefied.
Reference and disturbed. Okay, so.
What is that? What is that young boy's name?
Gavin.
Gavin.
Gavin. Kids in the Hall. Gavin. That's number 10 on the list. So, Rod, you have pick number 11.
I was going to put a robot chicken sketch. Is that that's allowed? Right?
I don't know.
It's a sketch comedy show.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a claymation sketch comedy show. But I'll allow it.
It's a comedy sketch, right?
Yeah, no, I'm fine with it. Go ahead, do it.
Okay. Then I'm gonna put this one on the list because the first time I saw this, I almost wet myself. It is one of the funniest things. If you're a Star Wars fan.
I threw the Senate at him. The whole Senate. True story.
Oh my God, that is so funny.
You made it come out of my nose.
Go for Papa Palpatine.
You have a collect call from...
Darth Vader.
I gotta take this. Hold on. Vader, how's my favorite Sith? Whoa, 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 whoa. Just slow down. Huh? What do you mean they blew up the Death Star? Who's they? What the hell is an aluminum falcon? Okay, so who's left? Are you me? Well, where are you? Wait a sec. You've been flying around for 2 weeks trying to get a signal? Oh, you must smell like feet wrapped in leathery burnt bacon. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought my Dark Lord of the Sith could protect a small thermal exhaust port that's only 2 meters wide. That thing wasn't even fully paid off yet. Do you have any idea what this is going to do to my credit? Hang on. I got another call. What? I'm very busy right now. Well, where are they going? Huh, all right, just get me a turkey club. Coleslaw, I guess. I'm not even going to eat it. What are you getting? Yeah, see, I always order the wrong thing.
I'm sorry, I love that. It's hilarious.
You know what the most disturbing aspect of the new Star Wars movie is?
What?
Is the fact that the idea of Palpatine having sex.
Maybe he just had a force baby. Like,
well, they claim now that it was a clone, I think because they wanted to wash that idea out of everybody's head of that fucking that mushroom-headed freak.
No, it's working for me. Down, it's working for me. Hold on.
Giving her the force lightning?
It's working for me. Hold on now. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that Dracula movie from the 90s.
What Dracula movie? Oh, Dracula. Dead and Loving It?
No, Dracula.
Oh, he does. You're right. He looks like Gary Oldman in Dracula.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he was all creepy with the sex stuff. So, yeah. No, it's kind of working for him.
No, I'm not into it. I'm not okay with that.
It's kind of working for him.
I'm not okay with that. I don't know what the name of that sketch would be, but I just
Emperor's Phone Call.
Papa Palpatine.
Go for Papa Palpatine. I'm sorry. That thing was really funny.
No.
And it goes really a lot longer.
It does. And I love the part where he's like, oh, God, now he's crying.
Yeah.
Because he brings up Padme.
Yeah, and he goes, no, hey, buddy, hey, now.
Hey.
You know, I'm a little upset. I just found out a bunch of teenagers blew up the Death Star.
You know. All right, James, you have the next pick, pick number 12.
Okay, I'm going to put this this one I just added because I thought about it. It's number 29 there.
29. Oh, good one. We haven't had one by this show on here yet, and
right.
It's deserving of being on here. Here we go. It's coming. I promise. I swear to God. You just wait. Oh, yeah.
I have a surprise for you.
Yeah!
Homie the Crab.
Yeah! Homie the Crab. Homie the Crab. Homie the Crab. Homie the Crab. Homie, 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 homie.
Hit him.
Is that Tommy Davidson?
It was Tommy Davidson singing Homie, Homie, Homie.
Hi, kids. I'm Homie the Clown.
It was usually Tommy Davidson that got
hit. Yeah! Yeah. All right, what y'all want me to do first?
Ooh. Oh, hi, Homie, Homie. What? Do a silly clown dance for us.
Oh, yeah! Degrading myself, huh? I don't think so. Homie, don't play that. Bust my skull open, have my blood and brains ooze out on the carpet so you can get a couple of cheap laughs, huh? I don't think so. Homie, don't play that. What else?
Hey, can we smash the cream pie in your face like you're doing the clowns and stuff?
Yeah! I think you got it backwards, son.
Yeah, I always love it when you watch a sketch and you know this is the first time it's ever been aired because people don't go apeshit when the person says their catchphrase.
Right.
The first time he said, homie, don't play that, people are like, oh, that's a funny line. And then the next day at school, every kid that you knew was saying, homie, don't play that. Did you see black people saying that? So I can say it.
Homie, don't play that.
Homie the Clown in Living Color. There were a couple of really great characters on Living Color. There were the two gay guys. I don't remember what
hated
they were.
Hated it.
Oh.
Yeah, God. Hated it. The movie critics. There was the homeless guy who had like always had like a jar of poop or something like that.
Yeah.
A jar.
That was Damon Wayans as well.
I'm going to just keep I'm going to keep piggybacking on James's picks and go with this one. It's also from In Living Color.
What you're thinking? We're all perfectly safe in this classroom, right?
Right.
Wrong. Just about everything you see in here is a potential hazard. Let me show you something.
Nice.
Let's just say you're changing the water in this here fish tank, and you accidentally fill it with gasoline, like so. Later that night, the janitor comes in. There's a power outage. He lights himself a match and. He's cooking fish sticks.
He just cooked the kid's fish in front of him.
Now, here's another all too common danger in the classroom. The movie projector. Sure, looks like fun, but it can be very, very deadly. Now, let's just say you're the audiovisual helper for the day. You go to plug this baby in, and you just happen to be soaking your bunions in a bucket of water.
All right. I think it was kind of one of those things, and it happens on SNL every once in a while where you see a new actor or whatever. It was like the moment that show was on, everybody was like, oh my God, did you see the white guy in Living Color last night? He's really funny.
And well, he was just so cartoony. The first time I saw that sketch, I went, how does he not have a fucking upper lip?
Honestly,
how do you take your lip off?
Like, either that's great makeup or he just looks like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's just such a rubber face. And I'm looking at I only have one pick left. So you guys were going on and on about Mr. Show. But
yes.
Damn it.
Quarters, mostly quarters?
I did. Quarters mostly, I said.
Well, I mean, did you check with the manager?
I did. The guy checked. He called someone.
That don't do me no good, though. I ain't got no quarters anymore, huh? Johnny?
Johnny Dobbs!
Terry?
I remember the first time I met Ronnie Dobbs.
Is he wearing a Foo Fighters?
At the time, I was a cameraman for a popular TV show about the Coppers.
If you've never seen this, this goes on this like film. This,
it's basically like yeah, it's a character
epic
from
thing that's like almost the whole episode, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a good chunk of it, but it's basically like it's like taking somebody you would see on Cops or the Springer Show and
realizing that man had been arrested shirtless in every single state.
In every single state, over and over again, the most arrested man in the country, Ronnie Dobbs. Hold on.
Can you get to the song? That's what I wanted to hear.
I thought that my home was my castle, with no one scrutinizing me. No pigs, no lion bitch, no hassle. Y'all are brutalizing me. Can't a man not drink his beer in silence? Can't a man not brutally lie and scream? Can't a man not control his bitch with violence? Y'all are brutalizing me. Y'all are brutalizing me.
My brother Justice sang that song like all the time, for almost to the point where you're making it not funny anymore, okay?
No offense to your brother Justice, but it feels like he's lived that song.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much. How High the Mountain. A.K.A. Ronnie's theme.
Ronnie's theme, yeah. All right, James.
Ronnie Dobbs.
Ronnie Dobbs,
so
everybody.
So number 15 goes to James, sir?
Yes.
15 to me.
15.
Okay. I think I need to go with... I think we need to get the state on here.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
Well...
I mean, I like the state, but I'm just saying go with whatever you think is the best sketch, not the best show.
I'm going to get Doug and the principal on there because I enjoyed Doug. I couldn't find the Jew, the Italian, and the redhead gang.
Oh.
They all live together on Avenue A.
Well,
they all see the world in a different way.
MTV locks stuff down, though. They really do.
You know, I was just going to say, the state, like when MTV first started really going away from just nothing but videos...
Mm-hmm.
At first, it was cool. Like remote control
and
was
and Butthead, and
yeah,
and
the Beavis State Butthead. Remote control was kind of a cool show.
Yeah,
and they did the Young Ones, and then they did Ren and Stimpy, and the State, and we're like, oh, this might be cool. And then all of a sudden, it was nothing but like what was it, Road Wars and Dumb
Road
Wars
rules.
And no, the yeah,
real
that.
World.
Yeah,
Real World. That's it.
Right. Yeah.
God, and it was just, awful.
Yep. But there was a shining moment. When they weren't sure what to do yet, and they did something like this, the state.
Principal Wheeler, you wanted to speak to me?
Yeah, Doug, come on in here. Found this in your locker, Doug. You mind telling me what it is?
Yeah, oregano?
Oregano, Doug?
Yeah, we're making spaghetti sauce in my home ec class, and I thought I'd bring in some spices to give mine that extra zing.
Well, that's a lot of oregano, huh, Doug?
Yeah, well, it better be a lot, because I paid $180 for it. Forget it, you would understand. I'm out of here.
No, Doug, hold on a minute. It's no big deal. I just thought we should talk.
Talk? And then what, Constable Wheeler? I'm Doug, and I may not be the brightest bulb on the planet, but I've had sex with my girlfriend for 2 hours once.
Yeah.
Forget it, I'm out of here.
Now, Doug, hold on a second. I want to tell you something. I don't want to be your principal. I want to be your principal. Now, is it true you got into a fight yesterday?
Well, I may have engaged in some minor fisticuffs, and I'm happy to report that my blood does clot. Kick me out if you will, Principal Wheeler. I'm out of here. Out of here.
No, Doug. A fight is unavoidable every now and then, right? Hell, I remember a huge fight I got into when I was a student here. It was the night of the mysterious disappearance of the Westbury High mascot. Me and Schmitty
are... No, wait, hey, Principal Wheeler, what are you doing? I'm Doug. I have greasy hair and no muscles. You're Principal Wheeler. You have a mustache and you smell like coffee. Two great tastes that taste weird together. Forget it. I'm out of here.
Hey, Doug, what is going on?
Nothing's going on. That's what's going on. I mean, what does a guy have to do to get suspended around here?
Probably nothing, Doug. I don't believe in suspending my students. Hey, Doug, you're in high school. Hang someone's underwear from the flagpole. Vandalize the field house. Pay more attention to Judas Priest lyrics, for crying out loud.
Whatever, Principal Wheeler. I'm out of here. Come on, guys, let's go.
Oh, Doug, I think we're going to hang here with Principal Wheeler. Talk about the mysterious disappearance of the Westbury High School mascot.
Okay, whatever. I'm out of here.
Any of you guys like oregano?
I love that sketch. Doug, the state. What was the one with the pudding from the state? It was like, we spent $20,000 on pudding.
Yeah, no, the dudes looks like the Beastie Boys from from the Hey Ladies video.
Yeah.
And they were like, we got 27 pounds of pure pudding right here in the trunk of this car.
That's what it was.
No, my favorite Doug thing, though, was when he's like going at his dad, and you find out his dad's like a record producer.
Right.
And he's like, you know what? We're not dead like Bob Dylan. He's like, Bob Dylan's not dead, son. He was over here last Thursday. Oh, you mean Uncle Robert?
Yeah. There was one that for some reason, like, he went Spanish. He's like, yo soy Doug, solamente Doug.
All right, it's time to get our last pick on here, and that is mine. And I'm going to go with another classic from again, it might be hard to pick up on this, but these guys are British. So here we go.
This really? Is the back of the house, with Uncle Ted coming round the side to the front. Yes. And this is the Spanish Inquisition hiding behind the coal shed. Oh, I didn't expect the Spanish Inquisition.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition!
The 16th century, to combat the rising tide of religious unorthodoxy, the Pope gave Cardinal Jimenez of Spain leave to move without let or hindrance throughout the land in a reign of violence, terror, and torture that makes a smashing film. This was the Spanish Inquisition.
Old woman, you're accused of heresy on three counts. Heresy by thought, heresy by word, heresy by deed, and heresy by action. Four counts. Do you confess?
I don't understand what I'm accused of.
Then we shall make you understand. Biggles. Bench. The cushions. Old lady, you have one last chance. Confess the heinous sin of heresy. Reject the works of the ungodly. Two last chances. And you shall be free. Three last chances. You have three last chances. The nature of which I have divulged in my previous utterance.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Right! If that's the way you want it. Cardinal, poke her with the soft cushion. Confess! Confess! Confess!
Confess! Hang on to me.
anyway, so
the element of surprise. The whole undying dedication to the Pope. R2.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, I love that.
Monty Python. Pretty good show. Pretty good show, I think.
Pretty good show.
I mean, some people would disagree. Those people would be almost right, but they're wrong. They're wrong.
I was talking last night, going through stuff. I ended up sitting down here with my son and making him watch Graham Chapman's funeral, which sounds weird.
No, it's a great funeral. Like, I mean, as far as funerals go.
It is the only funeral worth watching, I'll tell you that much for sure, by golly. But yeah, John Cleese gives the greatest eulogy ever, and it's brilliant and hilarious. And I realized watching it, wow, there's only three left.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah,
that's sad. And they're old. Yeah.
Cleese, Gilliam, and
Idle.
Yeah.
Eric Idle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was saddened by that thought. And now you're saddened by it, so I feel better.
Yeah, why did you do that? Hey, great way to end this the nominations part of the list though by bringing everybody down. Hey, how long do you think Paul McCartney has left? Tom Hanks has coronavirus. You think he's going to live?
Oh no. He's not getting out of this.
Anybody else? Hey, you know, I hear Betty White's pancreas is acting up.
Oh, Charlie Murphy was leukemia, by the way.
Oh, thank
good,
God.
Good. Good okay, news. Good news.
So all right, well, we're going to take a break. What?
God, I love you so much.
Okay, what are you on? What?
The Kids in the Hall. Yes. I just have to honorable mention.
I'd like to tell you about the Daves I know.
Okay,
these are the Daves I know. 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 David Hoffner, he works in my dad's store. He's worked here for 12 years. He'll probably work here for more. These are the Daves I know. 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 Dave Gord, I've known him since I was 6. In grade and he broke his leg, so we got drunk and sick.
Okay, I just wanted to honorable mention the Daves I know.
That is like David Bushman.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, he just keeps going through all. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. He just mm-hmm. goes through all the Daves he knows, mm-hmm. and it's very informative. And
Does he specifically call out Dave Foley?
I don't think he says anything about Dave Foley. Dave Foley's in the sketch though. He just is there. Like he's singing.
Yeah, I don't think he ever says Dave Foley.
Yeah, you don't go, David Foley, I'm on a show with... It wouldn't make any sense. All right. You know what? We're going to take a break. And here's what we're going to do. Because I'm looking at this list, and there's some other ones I want to get on here, too. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. Then when we come back, we're all going to get one last pick. Though, Rod, I think you might have already had yours with
you. Yeah, that's my pick. Yeah.
All right, that's Rod's. So when we get back...
Sneak James.
Hey. James
come
and I will
and
have
find
our,
out what Rod's pick is.
We already did it. So, right. When we get back,
that's how you leave a mutton.
I got to figure that out. I'm never good at that.
James and I will do our final two picks. What is missing from this? Well, we'll find out in just a couple minutes.
Well, bam!
All right, we're back, and we have, by the way, speaking of Hwabam, she's in quarantine right now.
That's cool.
Rebecca is in quarantine.
Well, let's just keep it a downer now.
Yeah, she, she's fine. She had a cold, and she went to the doctor, and they're like, you need to go quarantine. And she was like, okay, well, I guess I'll go. Do I need to get tested for the coronavirus? And they're like, no, you just need to go to quarantine.
Yeah, stop talking to us and go.
Why do
just
I
mind
have to
your
go
fucking
to
business for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Why do I have to go to quarantine if I don't have, we don't know? They're like, you're not sick enough for us to test for whether you have it, but you are sick enough for your whole life to be disrupted for the next 2 weeks. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Go to quarantine.
Now, what I will say, which is kind of cool, I work for the city of St. Louis. They sent an email and they said if you are showing signs and they suggest that you quarantine, you sit down for 2 weeks and don't worry about it. We'll pay you. You don't have to use sick time. You don't have to use vacation time. We'll just cover it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool. Well, it's not their money, so, what do they care?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Mm. Whitaker, right. True.
Hey, real quick before we get back to this.
I'm glad that the taxpayers of St. Louis are giving you money, James.
I am too.
I'm sure they're happy about it.
Finally, I work hard for the money, so they better treat me right.
Or you'll beat them and throw them in the hole.
No, it's good because it's the first decent thing the city of St. Louis has ever done.
Yeah, it's not. That is. Name something more decent.
Instituted a across the board $15 minimum wage for any city employee. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah, but didn't Missouri strike that down?
No.
For the city employees.
The city itself tried to do employees. That for like all right. employers.
Yeah, yeah.
But any city employee, like anybody that anyway. Works for.
Hey, real quick before we get back to the list. Hey, John.
Yes.
Jonathan Weir. Mm-hmm. Do you recognize this sound from your past?
Oh, my God. Why? Why did you do that? That is an Aztec death whistle is what that is.
Yes, it is, sir.
Yeah.
I found it.
Oh, did you? You found it? Mine stopped working. Like, I would blow into it, and it just kind of, it would be a mild roar, not really a full-on death scream.
Mine still summons the dead.
It would just be.
Mine still summons the dead.
That was given to us at, I think, one of the highlights of the Weir Show's days, and that was when we did our live show at the mall, Oak Park Mall,
so fun.
In Overland Park, and for the Salvation Army's Children's Shelter. And it was a highlight for two reasons. One, because we were the only show that actually brought anybody out. nobody showed up for the other shows, and don't think that Scott Parks loved that. It was weird because after that show, for some reason, we started getting like ungodly amounts of shit from everybody.
What's funny is it was a huge moment for John and I. Like, we literally were cloud nine, the two of us. Yeah. Like, dude, that was great. It was awesome. It was so much fun. And it was truly the beginning of the end.
It was because we thought like after that show, this is going to change. Like, they're the bosses were there and they saw how much the 11
half the sales
show.
Department was there.
Yeah, and they're gonna just sell. They know that we can bring an audience. They know that we can bring a crowd.
And
people were there for us, and they were really into the show, and it was great. And not only that, we raised like I think more than half of the money just on our show alone for the children's shelter. And obviously, I shouldn't be bragging about that because the whole point is just raising money for the children's shelter.
But it was a huge.
But all the
for
other
us.
Shows suck, and ours is good. That's my point.
Those death whistles evidently were for us.
Yeah. All right, James, what is your last pick?
Okay, got to get this one in. I got to drop something that my sister was like, hey, you should mention that. There was a short-lived sketch comedy show on MTV with Alex Winter called The Idiot Box.
Okay.
And he had a character called Eddie the Flying Gimp.
Okay.
But I couldn't find anything with that. It was difficult.
All right.
So, somebody leave?
No.
Okay, I thought I heard a...
Nope, I think your internet's just bad.
Oh.
Yeah, I blame you. All right, what's your last pick?
A darling little thing from Monty Python's Flying Circus, very, very early on, and it is an Italian lesson.
Now, first of all, try telling him where you come from. For example, I would say, sono inglese de Gerard's Cross.
So basically, the point of this bit is a guy teaching Italian class, and all of the people in the class are native Italian speakers.
I'm an Englishman from Gerard's Cross. Shall we all try that together?
Yeah, easy.
Sono inglese de Gerard's Cross. Not too bad. Now let's try with somebody else. Mr.
Mariolini.
Mr. Mariolini. And where are you from?
Napoli, signor.
Are you Italian?
Si, si, si.
Well, in that case, you would say, sono italiano di Napoli.
Ah, capisco. Mille grazie, signor.
Ma per favore, signore. Non conosce Napoli, ma in te, signor. Devo mi polo sono italiano di Napoli quando vi abitare di Milano.
Che sto
figlio. Ah, sorry, I didn't understand.
My friend is saying.
Bitte, Was ist das Wort für Mittelschmutz?
Oh, Helmut, you want the German classes.
Oh, danke schön. Ah, das deutsche Kassenzimmer. Ah.
My friend is saying, he say, why must I say, I am Italian from Napoli when he lives in Milan?
The thing that's amazing about, like, is just how smart all those fucking guys were.
Yeah, like they all were fine. They were all just speaking Italian there. Yeah. I mean, like they were fluent in it. So annoying. All right, then the last pick is mine. It is from Kids in the Hall, and it is the Chicken Lady.
Ah.
Who is it?
It's me, Max Davis. I answered your ad in the personals. We have a date tonight.
Oh, yeah? Are you my date?
Yes, I am.
She opens the door, and it's the Chicken Lady. Okay.
You must be thirsty.
Hold on.
I'll have a seat. So, what is it you do?
I'm a banker.
God, you must be thirsty. Can I get your beer? Would you like to just drink out of the toilet?
A beer.
Hey, would you like to sign my yearbook?
Oh, no, thank you.
High school was hell for me.
Oh, really?
All the other kids tease me.
Wow, imagine that.
If you want to stay in my good books, don't call me a bird brain. If you want to stay in my good books, which you do.
All right. Yeah, the bird lady, Kids in the Hall. Or chicken lady, I mean bird lady. Lady goes...
Chicken's bird counts.
True. You're right. You're right. Italian classes. All right. We're going to take another quick break here so I can figure out how we can vote on this, and then we'll be right back. All right. We're back, and it's time to vote on the 19 best sketches from a non-SNL sketch comedy show. Here we go. All right, first one. My wife left me for a guy named Jesus versus Homie the Clown.
Both mine. I'm going to go with my wife left me for a guy named Jesus. I think it's funnier.
I'm going to go with Homie the Clown.
Yeah, I'm going Homie.
All right, next one. The Daves I Know from Kids in the Hall versus Italian Classes from Monty Python.
Oh, that's tough.
Italian Class.
Daves I Know.
I'm going to go with Daves I Know. Sorry, James.
You son of a bitch.
Italiano.
That's how it works, bitch. Football Names versus Papa Palpatine. Football Names from Key and Peele versus Papa Palpatine. Robot Chicken.
Mm. I'm going to say Papa Palpatine.
I'm going Football Names.
I'm going to go Robot Chicken because fuck you, John. What? Shitting on Italian James, Class.
James voted. Rod voted golden. Against you too, asshole.
Yeah, but fuck you.
It worked better.
You should have known better.
Yeah.
All right. The Daves I Know versus Mr. Garvey, Key and Peele.
I gotta go with Mr. Garvey.
Yeah.
Substitute teacher.
I wanna go with the Daves I Know because I'm personally sick of the Mr. Garvey sketch from hearing it so goddamn much.
But, it's
but at
so
the same
good.
Time, that's not most people's experience and it's
right.
still a good sketch.
And I love the Daves I Know, but still yeah.
Don Pratt from Mr. Show, the guy pretending to be a lawyer but not pretending to be a lawyer, he just wanted a friend.
No, hey, three rules. I'm not a lawyer, no sex. And I know when to leave.
Don Pratt versus Kenny Rogers, Jackass.
Pratt.
Yeah, sorry, Rod. I got to go with Pratt.
All right, that's good.
Let's see. Then we got Lie Detector from Mr. Show versus Gavin from Kids in the Hall. Both my picks. I'm going to go with Lie Detector.
Yeah.
Homie the Clown.
Gavin's great, but Lie Detector's too good.
Actually, no. Let me skip that. Not Homie the Clown. Rick James versus My Pen from Kids in the Hall.
I think you gotta go Rick James, bitch.
Probably you do.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Rick James. Dead Parrot versus Fire Marshal Bill.
Now that's hard.
Yeah, that's the first tough one, really, I think.
I would say,
at least for me,
Dead Parrot is fantastic standalone. Fire Marshal Bill was a
great recurring character.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I don't know. I got to go with Dead Parrot. It's
I give the nod to the standalone one time.
Yeah. To have lasted that long and then to also be such a...
Yeah, because I think if you brought up the Dead Parrot sketch to most people, they know what you're talking about, but most people might not know who Fire Marshal Bill is, so I'm going to go with Dead Parrot.
Yeah, and it's just such a... It's so ridiculous, yet intellectual at the same time.
Right. Somehow. Ronnie Dobbs from Mr. Show, the most arrested man in America, versus Doug and the principal from The State.
I'm going to say Ronnie Dobbs.
James?
Yeah, again, Ronnie Dobbs was kind of recurring, but not exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, he got into titillitis.
Well, they did the Ronnie Dobbs movie, which in all actuality was kind of not good. But it was...
Y'all are brutalized.
It's a great sketch. I'm gonna go with Ronnie Dobbs.
The thing that gets me about that is Nikki Cox was in that as Ronnie Dobbs' love interest.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a point, and she's like, "Oh, is that?" And I can't remember what it was. But she's like, "Is that something in your pocket? You're just happy to see me?" And he's like, "What? Oh, no, that's a hard on. You did that."
I'm gonna go with Ronnie Dobbs.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Ronnie Dobbs moves on. The Spanish Inquisition versus Papa Palpatine.
Oh, I did not expect the Spanish Inquisition.
No one does. In fact,
I'm
Spanish Inquisition.
Spanish Inquisition.
Yeah, Spanish Inquisition.
I was trying to figure out if I could argue Emperor's Phone Call. It is really good, but no, it's no Spanish Inquisition.
Then we got Homie the Clown versus the Chicken Lady, which, man. Ooh. Battle of the
Chicken Lady
90s,
for me, yeah.
90s recurring. I'm going to go with Chicken Lady.
Yeah, yeah. That's fine. That's fine. Homie got a little overplayed.
Yeah, it did. Which is ironic, considering you didn't play that. No, Mr. Garvey from Key & Peele versus Don Pratt from Mr. Show.
Mr. Garvey.
I'm going Pratt. Promises stick with me.
I got to go with Mr. Garvey. Lie Detector versus Rick James, bitch. I'm going with Lie Detector. I don't care.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go.
Lie Detector moves on. Dead Parrot versus Ronnie Dobbs.
Ooh.
Dead Parrot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. James.
Brutalizing me. Parrot's dead. Pining for the fjords.
Can a man not drink his beer? And
can a man not pine for the fjords?
Can a man not
call his wife a whore? Okay.
Which is it?
Dead Parrot.
Dead Parrot.
All right.
Moves on. Spanish Inquisition versus the Chicken Lady. Damn.
Spanish Inquisition.
I'm going to say Chicken Lady.
Spanish Inquisition.
Yeah, you both suck. Spineless. Spineless is what you are.
Yeah.
So we're in the final four.
It said the guy who voted against Italian lesson.
I didn't think it was as funny. Mr. Garvey versus Lie Detector.
Lie Detector.
Lie Detector.
Lie Detector, yes.
Piece by piece with your penis? It was for charity.
Yes, for charity.
Dead Parrot versus the Spanish Inquisition, so only one Python sketch will be in the final.
Oh, well, that's good. Hold on. I had to pick the Lie Detector because I cannot tell you how many times when Jonathan and I first met, we would, like, out of nowhere, look at each other and go, no, it's great. It's crack. Get you real high.
Yeah, crack. It gets you really high.
It's so nonchalant. How was it? It's great. It's crack.
It's
really high.
Crack. Get you real high.
Yeah, mostly after Rod had told me that he had smoked crack.
It's great. Get you real high.
It's great.
I'm going to say Dead Parrot. Oh, between Dead Parrot and Spanish Inquisition. I'm going to say Dead Parrot.
I'm going to go with Spanish Inquisition just to make it harder on James. James!
See, Dead Parrot's a standalone thing.
Yeah.
It is.
And Spanish Inquisition kind of pops up.
It did go on
throughout
for a while.
The episode.
Mm-hmm.
I think Spanish Inquisition's funnier.
The Spanish Inquisition's funnier?
Bring out the comfy chair!
No one expects... Yeah, all right.
Among our several...
there's so many little bits inside of it. Like the dead parrot sketch is just a exercise in a build and burn, right?
Yeah.
Like it's the parrot's dead, trying to get the guy to admit it. The guy won't admit it. But in Spanish Inquisition, there's like the fact that they just jump in, no one expects it. The counting thing, and then on top of that, the torture devices that are just ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's the freaking Spanish Inquisition.
Here we go.
Like this horrible thing.
The final comes down to the lie detector sketch from Mr. Show, which Conan O'Brien, no slouch to comedy himself, said was the best written sketch of all time.
I'm glad he has a podcast.
Me too. Have you ever checked it out? Really good.
I would hate for him not to have some sort of avenue to
express himself.
Yeah, I feel like he hasn't made enough money, like getting $50 million for being fired from NBC.
No.
I mean, granted, I got $2,000 when I was fired from Intercom, so I know what it's like. but, you know.
Getting them big dick paychecks.
How long did it take to get that $2,000? It
took a long time, like way too long. Almost like so long that I didn't have money.
Yeah.
And had to move to Boston out of desperation. Spanish Inquisition versus Lie Detector.
I know for the three of us, this is a good final two.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think the rest, everyone else is mad because they're like, Mr. Garvey. That's how they talk when they disagree with me.
That's not how they talk.
That's how they sound.
I'm going to have to say Spanish Inquisition.
I'm going to say Lie Detector. James.
I knew you would.
As much as I love Monty Python, Mr. Show is my ride or die.
Mr. Show is a ride or die show, and boom! That is the winner.
The Lie Detector sketch.
The Lie Detector from Mr. Show.
I've seen David Cross live. I've seen none of the Pythons live.
That's
only because you didn't have a
shouldn't
chance.
Have had any bearing on it, but it's
it doesn't.
A,
but just
it's
wanted
just
to,
you know what's
it's just a perfect sketch.
You know, like, what's funny is I've never personally seen him live, but other than on television, his stand-up's kind of love him on Mr. Show, loved him on Arrested Development and other things I've seen him on, but his stand-up was just kind of
The problem with his stand-up a little bit, I think that David Cross on his own is a little much. Does that make sense? I mean, James and I actually saw him when he came to Kansas City live last year, and
yeah, I remember that.
I like his stand-up. He's not my favorite stand-up by any stretch, but I like him okay. I think the problem is that, by himself without Bob Odenkirk kind of adding some charm to it, I think David Cross is just a little much.
He's a bit acerbic.
Yeah, that's a good way. He's very verbose and strident, and he just needs somebody. Every once in a while, you just kind of wish somebody would walk out on stage and slap him.
And maybe that's Amber Tamblyn's job, but I don't know.
Maybe. Oh. Wait, wasn't she in trouble for doing that or something?
No, that's Amber Heard.
Oh, Amber Heard, right. Okay.
Oh, you're thinking of Dr. Dre.
No, I was thinking of Johnny Depp.
Oh.
Who I often confuse with David Cross. Anyway, point is, that's the show.
They're very similar.
All of you who are upset about the winner, I couldn't give a shit. Just go watch the sketch and you'll see that I'm right.
It's solid. It's solid. Like, go YouTube Mr. Show Lie Detector. You'll not be disappointed.
You'll thank us. Or not, and you'll still be angry, and then I still don't give a shit. Like, what are you going to do? Defy the quarantine and come to my house and beat me up in Boston? I don't give a shit. I'll tell you Rod's address, though.
Hey, if you want to know my address...
Actually, Rod will give you his address freely.
You can email me at oddrodbabcock.com. No, it's oddrodbabcock at gmail.com.
Well, everyone
you
else...
You have your own
is,
oddrodbabcock.com,
Well, I should.
We need to do one. Yeah, I'll get you a website. While everyone else is, terrified of going within 3 feet of each other, Rod is actively inviting people over to his house.
Literally, if you want to be on the show, send me an email and tell me why, and maybe I will send you my address and tell you to come on over.
Which is funny, because your wife wouldn't let you go to a show last night, right?
No, and she's been freaking out about how many people are coming over here. I'm like, at least one or two a day for the next week. And she's like, well, I'll just spray him with Lysol. Don't touch him. I was like, it'll be fine.
Especially the guy in the wheelchair. Make sure you really dehumanize him. I'm sure he'll really
it'll be fine. I tell you what's funny is one of the first emails I got was from TJ Gum.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, dude, you're in just because you're TJ mother effing Gum.
Gum, yeah. Big supporter of the podcast. So,
hells yeah.
All right. So, yeah, make sure you hit up Rod with, you know, if you want to come see his basement and have a 50-50 chance of being killed. I'm not going to lie. Rod might hit you over the head with the shovel, depending on how much money's in your pockets.
I'm a big fan of Maxwell and his silver hammer.
And, James, what do you want to plug?
Electricity.
Electricity. It's great. All right. Bye.
Take this, bitch.